The following is the Srimad Bhagavatam class, 2nd canto, 6th chapter, text 20, by His Holiness Ramapada Swami Maharaj in St. Louis, Missouri, on May 30th, 2008.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, Text 20. Very important verse. Very powerful purport. Padatrayo bahish chasan.
Padatrayo bahish chasan.
Aprajanamya ashramaha.
Aprajanamya ashramaha.
Antastrilokyas tvaparo.
Antastrilokyas tvaparo.
Grihamedho brahad vrataha. Padatrayo bahishchasan.
Padatrayo bahishchasan.
Aprajanamya ashramaha. Antastrilokyas tvaparo.
Antastrilokyas tvaparo.
Grihamedho brahad vrataha. Padatrayaha. The cosmos of three-fourths of the Lord's energy.
The cosmos of three-fourths of the Lord's energy.
Bahi.
Bahi.
Thus situated beyond.
Thus situated beyond.
Cha. And for all.
And for all.
Asan.
Asan.
Were.
Were.
Aprajanam.
Aprajanam.
Of those who are not meant for rebirth. Yea,
those.
Ashramaha.
Status of life.
Antaha.
Within.
Trilokyaha.
Of the three worlds.
Tu.
But.
Aparaha.
Others.
Grihamedaha. Attached to family life. Abrahat vrata,
without strictly following vows of celibacy.
Translation, the spiritual world, which consists of three-fourths of the Lord's energy, is situated beyond this material world, and it is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Others, who are attached to family life, and who do not strictly follow celibacy vows, must live within the three material worlds. Heavy-duty verse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, two-page purport. The climax of the system of Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma is clearly expressed here in this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest benefit that can be awarded to a human being is to train him to be detached from sex life, particularly because it is only due to sex indulgence that the conditioned life of material existence continues, birth after birth, human civilization, in which there is no control of sex life as a fourth-class civilization, because in such an atmosphere there is no liberation of the soul encaged in the material body. Birth, death, old age, and disease are related to the material body, and they have nothing to do with the spirit soul. But as long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body, which is compared to garments subjected to the laws of deterioration. Paragraph. In order to award the highest benefit of human life, the Varnashram system trains the follower to adopt a vow of celibacy beginning from the order of Brahmachari. The Brahmachari life is for students who are educated to follow strictly the vow of celibacy. Youngsters who have no taste for sex life can easily follow the vow of celibacy. And, once fixed in the principle of such a life, one can very easily continue to the highest perfectional stage, attaining the kingdom of the three-fourths energy of the Lord. It is already explained that in the cosmos of three-fourths energy of the Lord, there is neither death nor fear. And one is full of blissful life and of happiness and knowledge. A householder attached to family life can easily give up such a life of sex indulgence if he has been trained in the principles of the life of a brahmachari. A householder is recommended to quit home at the end of 50 years. Pancha Shordvam Vanamvrajet, and live a life in the forest. Then, being fully detached from family affection, he may accept the order of renunciation as a sannyasi fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Any form of religious principles in which the followers are trained to pursue the vow of celibacy is good for the human being, because only those who are trained in that way can end the miserable life of material existence. The principles of nirvana, as recommended by Lord Buddha, are also meant for ending the miserable life of material existence. And this process, in the highest degree, is recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, with clear perception of ideal perfection, although basically there is no difference between the processes of Buddhists, Shankarites, and Vaishnavites for promotion to the highest status of perfection, namely freedom from birth and death, anxiety and fearfulness. Not one of these processes allows the follower to break the vow of celibacy. And the final paragraph, listen to this sentence. Probably read it 10 times. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. Read it again. The householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The pious householders, or the fallen yogis, or the fallen transcendentalists can be promoted to the higher planets within the material world, the 1/4 energy of the Lord, but they will fail to enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. Brihatvratas are those who have broken the vow of celibacy. The vanaprastas are those retired from family life, and the sannyasis, or the renounced persons, cannot break the vow of celibacy if they want success in the process. The brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis do not intend to take rebirth, apraja, nor are they meant for secretly indulging in sex life. Such a fall down by the spiritualist may be compensated by another chance for human life and good families of learned brahmanas or of rich merchants for another term of elevation. But the best thing is to attain the highest perfection of deathlessness as soon as the human form of life is attained. Otherwise, the whole policy of human life will prove to be a total failure. Lord Chaitanya was very strict in advising his followers in this matter of celibacy. One of his personal attendants, Shuddha Haridas, was severely punished by Lord Chaitanya because of his failure to observe the vow of celibacy. For a transcendentalist, therefore, who at all wants to be promoted to the kingdom beyond material miseries, It is worse than suicide to deliberately indulge in sex life, especially in the renounced order of life. Sex life in the renounced order of life is the most perverted form of religious life, and such a misguided person can only be saved if, by chance, he meets a pure devotee. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshura Miritam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Tadati Svapadantika. Powerful. So, several things. This chapter 6, Purusha Sukta confirmed, is expanding the meaning of the Purusha Sukta prayers from the Rig Veda, just as the Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, it's a natural commentary on Gayatri Mantra. In this chapter it's also commentary on Purusha Sukta prayers. In those Purusha Sukta prayers, it describes things that are mentioned in the verse and the purport. In Purusha Sukta prayers, it describes, it's the process of how the Purusha avatar, Lord Vishnu, brings about creation. The essence then is everything comes from Purusha, comes from a person. Right in the Rig Veda. Everything comes from a person. Just like Krishna describes, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Matak Sarvam Pravartate, or Matak Parataram Nan Yatkin Chidasti Dhananjaya. Everything, he's the source of everything. And part of that everything that he creates is the one quarter portion. It specifically uses the language, three quarter, one quarter. It's not like a strict mathematical, okay, here's a box over here that's this big and here's one that's three times as big over there. It's just to give us some idea. It's the spiritual world is far more vast than this. And the Varnashram system is also described because that's part of the one quarter portion. The Varnashram system is divisions of society designed specifically with duties assigned to them specifically so that they can enter the three quarter portion. And that three quarter portion has, as Prabhupada has mentioned, it's already been described as a place where there's no fear. There's bluffing in this plane that says no fear, or like just like dull brain, no fear. But where there's literally no fear, because there's full protection from the personality of Godhead. Everything is in full harmony with the Supreme Lord. So fearlessness, deathlessness, Sachit Ananda Vigraha realm, that's the spiritual realm. That's described in the Purusha Sukta mantras, and it's being expanded upon here. Now, in this verse, necessary but not sufficient. A necessary component in each of the four varnas is this life of celibacy. Prabhupada touches upon it here. He expands upon it in other places that the idea in general when you have restriction, it actually means it's a regulation to indicate really you should do without it. Like he gives as the example the regulation that the government may impose upon production of liquor. If they had prohibition, as happened in America at some point in time, people will do it anyway, and it becomes illegally done. So the government, seeing that it, I mean, this is the in an ideal sense, not like the modern thing. It's just a way to make some money. So you open liquor shops and you open gambling casinos and you just tax them and you just sit back and let the people go to hell and take money from them. But from the scriptural perspective, the message of restriction is an indication that one should do without. He describes that within the Quran. There's the pravriti and there's the nivriti section of the Quran. I'm not a scholar of the Quran, I'll just take Prabhupada's word for it. It describes, for example, in the Quran, a process for sacrifice. But the second part or final part of the Quran says actually it's better to do without. That's the higher, the nivriti. But if there's going to be indulgence, then it has to be regulated. So similarly, the regulation of the number one attraction in material existence for all species of life, that which perpetuates, in fact, the species of life, is male-female attraction. And Prabhupada points out in three of the four ashrams, it's no, no, and no. And in the grihastha ashram, it's under certain conditions. And when the observance is under certain conditions, then that means also no, otherwise no. And Prabhupada called that grihastha brahmachari, meaning observing celibacy strictly, except for the purposes of procreation, for begetting God-conscious children. And when that is observed, then according to Bhagavad Gita, that kamosmi, that act of sex, is not contrary to religious principles. Krishna says that I am. Hi, Bal Bhima. We're on the No Sex Life verse and purport from Purusha Sukta confirmed. The force that's within the purport is that, and it's explaining the verse as well, if that little item called observing celibacy is neglected, then one immediately disqualifies oneself from entering into the kingdom of deathlessness, the three-quarter portion of the spiritual sky. So ashram, regardless, that must be observed. The regulation part is there for grihasthas, then that eligibility is preserved. But otherwise, can't go back to Godhead. Or the householders and persons who have deliberately broken the vow of celibacy cannot enter into the kingdom of deathlessness. The very next sentence is, piety can entitle one to higher planets, elevation in that way. But so there's Brihat Vrata, just like Bhishma Dev observed this Brihat Vrata. Then the verses A Brihat Vrata, those that violate. So it's very clear, brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas, that's not unclear, it's very clear. And grihastha life is also not unclear. Sometimes people say. They backpedal on Prabhupada's teachings, and Prabhupada didn't mean this, he meant that. Or why did... And they start dicing up the instruction. And then next thing you know, the instruction just disappeared. But the instruction didn't disappear. It's very explicit. Very explicit. He goes so far as to say, this is unique in Prabhupada's purports, but the Buddhists' view of Nirvana and the Shankarites' view of Shunyavad and the Vaishnavas' view of achieving Goloka Vrindavan, none of them compromise on this principle of celibacy. So, at least it should be clear for those that read Prabhupada's books what he intended. Just like in this purport of Yavasayatmika Budhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahushaka Yinantascha, that verse from chapter 2, text 41 of Bhagavad Gita. How does this very singular intelligence come about? The Prabhupada in the purport states the highest perfection in Krishna consciousness is realization of the self beyond the bodily conception. I mean, you might expect him to say, going back to God, the highest perfection is awakening prema bhakti, or going to Goloka Vrindavan, or becoming an intimate associate of Radha and Krishna, and you know, something like that. Factual realization of the self beyond the conception of the body. Because from that platform one can go the rest of the distance, but if one doesn't cover that much, you can't go the rest of the distance. And same, this principle of detachment from sex life is, if that's not accomplished, the rest can't be accomplished. It's still rooted in the bodily conception and yielding to or indulging oneself in the bodily conception and the happiness derived therefrom. It's not, for religious principle, anything that we do thereafter is for the service of Krishna. Whatever we do with the rest of our senses, working senses, knowledge acquiring senses, mind, intelligence, abilities, strength, opulence, whatever it is that we have that's for Krishna, how can you go there if you're not in, if you're still in the bodily conception of life? It's a nice try, but it's ineffective. It's blunt, dull instrument. It won't cut the knot of material affection, material affinity. And the transcendental life, this three-quarters portion that the Purusha Sukta prayers are describing, is, that language is very nice, the spiritual world which consists of the three fourths of the Lord's energy is situated beyond this material world and is especially meant for those who will never be reborn. Aprajanam, in the Sanskrit here. Aprajanam. Praja is one who takes birth, and apraja is those who don't take birth. Those whose determination is to not take birth again. So you can flip it around and say, hey, if you want to take birth again, here's a very simple way to do it. Engage in sex life, and you'll be guaranteed you'll take birth again. Or flip it around the other way, and if one wants to not take birth again, then please pay attention that this is an item that can't be compromised. So what Prabhupada was giving, when some people say, oh, Swamiji gave something so high, no, you know, people in this age, they can't maintain it. What Prabhupada was doing was giving us an opportunity, and he wasn't like milk toasting it, watering it down. He gave us the real thing, the real medicine. Like when you go to a physician, he gives you a sugar pill and says you'll feel better. Come on. But he gives you some strong medicine. And the strong medicine cures the disease. That's what Prabhupada gave. He gave us the opportunity, explicitly expressed by Shukadev Goswami, for all ashramas, not just one or three, but all four ashrams, the opportunity to enter the spiritual world by this little principle, one of the four regular principles that we observe. As long as the bodily attachment for sensual enjoyment is encouraged, the individual spirit soul is forced to continue the repetition of birth and death on account of the material body. So, as Prabhupada would describe, where is this training? Where is this training that from early age, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur certainly expressed it when he was a young boy. He's formed a society, and he was the only one who followed the society's rules. Lifelong celibacy. But, the modern absence of such principle, what does one expect besides people won't go back to Godhead? The quality of life just goes down and down and down and down and down and down and down. And Hare Krishna. Very sad condition. May we not take birth again so that we don't have to go through the modern education system that puts the whole thing in your face. The Shreya can tell us all about it, what goes on in school. As she goes on through high school, it's going to get ramped up. Then college, it gets over the top. I get little communications from some of the kids that are in high school, and they describe what they experience daily, and it's wow. They don't want to go to school. they want education, but they don't want to go to that. So we're fortunate to have Prabhupada's teachings, not only the teachings of Krishna in the highest form, but the real thing that happens on this platform. It's not like there's this organization in Texas. They're followers, so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya, where they're teaching Raganuga Bhakti, and one of the themes is no regulations, just spontaneous devotional service. So one of our Trinidadian devotees from Houston went to the place in Austin and sat through a class where one sannyasini was explaining all about Raganuga Bhakti. And he raised his hand at the end and said, is it what you're saying? Do you not have regulations? Is it okay if we eat meat and have illicit sex and gamble and take intoxication? Is that okay? Like, explicit, and that she got all flustered and didn't answer his question. But it's going on. And it's not just Rajneesh, it's all kinds of things that they just don't explain ABC. And so if you don't have ABC, how can you spell and read and write? If there's no fundamental. So it's explicit, it's very, very explicit here. It's once, I think it was in Giranagari that this retreat previously,
2 years ago,
expressed, this verse came up. I didn't even know it was in the lineup. It just came up. And there was some vigorous discussion. And one of the devotees commented, I never really understood why this principle. Now I understand why this principle. So important. So now I'm having that devotee help others that don't understand the principle to understand the principle, because, you know, you get married and you don't want to follow that principle, some persons think. It's just, you know, now it's party time. I got a license. I've been restricting myself and now I have a license. But the license of marriage is not unrestricted. The license of marriage is then according to religious principles and not otherwise. Otherwise you're a lawbreaker, and the lawbreaker's the penalty is, according to very clear teaching, you can't go back to Godhead. Whew. What a price to pay. Is it worth it? But then somebody may look at the other way. Well, what a price to pay. So then what do you if you don't pay the price, what do you get? You get a lemon. So you want to pay a little bit more to get a vehicle that you know is works properly, or pay less money to buy a vehicle you know is a lemon. Well, I'd rather pay less money. Okay, then you get a lemon. So the price that one has to pay, it's very, very, very explicit. And I don't know all the ways, but I've heard there's many, many ways that persons try to, that it's called the workaround. There's this, no, this instruction, the no illicit sex instruction, work around it. Prabhupada didn't mean it. It's not realistic for this age to follow. Therefore, something other, something less, something, 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 work around it, because it looks like a tall mountain. Being a householder probably knows hundreds of such workarounds. I've only heard a few of them. And, you know, anyway. It's an important principle. Any discussion? Yes.
Marriage, I mean, the change in the principle of celibacy, pushing toward heart truth and Krishna consciousness. And I just find it very challenging. You know, like you were saying, they're being bombarded with, you know, in the midst of indulgence sex life. I just think.
And it's not indirect, it's very explicit.
Yeah. And then we have a situation where we have girls and boys being trained together, growing up together, and, you know, at a certain point, those desires start coming in, and they're in their development cycle. And then we have a situation where, in general, we may not be so comfortable discussing celibacy or sex life, so at home that training is not being provided, and it's not, and there's a level of discomfort for it being provided in school. So what
needs
to be done? I feel
Krishna. I don't have a magic wand, just touch it to the subject and all of a sudden it's perfect. It seems like it's a community matter, because you can't, you know, there's the children, then there's the parents. And then there's multiple parents and there's multiple children, that different parents have different views and different standards, and different children have different, you know, whatever, it's some scars and something that they're carrying with them, and some are very content to just... So it seems like it's a community matter. And it seems it's important that it's discussed. I mean, not overly discussed, but discussed to a reasonable degree, that at least the parents that are understanding on the same wavelength parents, and then they, at least in their home, and then, you know, support whatever is the agreed upon standard as far as how the children conduct themselves amongst one another. And, you know, if so, it's the pizza and bakoras thing, you know, the liberal and the conservative thing. We know we have to, our children are exposed to all this stuff, so if we go too much on this side, they'll you know, they won't be able to relate to it, and then on the other side, if you go over there, then, you know, you're losing what our training is, and so what are we going to end up with on the other end? So the liberal and conservative views on this need to be carefully considered, so that the parents, there's not, as far as possible, there's a basic bandwidth that the parents agree upon, the upper and lower limits, and then you work within that limit. And if any individual feels that bandwidth is too broad, I can't handle it, then they can voluntarily drop out. But, you know, there has to be from starting position a common understanding amongst the parents, and this is what we want to support. And I've seen when that goes on, it doesn't necessarily even have to be like this, you know, have a convention or something, but just a basic understanding that parents have. I've seen where parents can help correct other parents, and children can help correct other children when they start going out of the bandwidth. Like, you know, too fanatical on the one side and too liberal on the other side. Mm-hmm. Fanatical that just, like, drives other kids and the parents of those kids nuts. Or the other side. So, I mean, I could another time give specific examples, but where one child having an attraction that's outside the bandwidth, it brings a note of alarm from another one of the parents, and the parents speak to the other parents, and the kids speak to the kid, and, you know, they can help bring them back. That's where there's, you know, the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. Because it's true, even there may be within a family a happy contentment with the standards that we keep. But then our child or our children may be mixing with others that are outside of that, and that makes the parents uncomfortable. It just, you know, some kids are just in another space. And in some cases, that's not a problem because there's confidence that their child can help bring that off the bandwidth person back in, but by good association. But then there has to be some kind of thread of consensus. Want to comment on this one? Bhima?
Well, it's a complicated thing. Just like something as simple as television. Television, you know, is kind of like the root of all evils, and religions generally try to keep television out of their house for obvious reasons. But then I've heard so many times, of course, I don't have kids, but householders who do express that their kids go off to the neighbors' houses and watch television. So they compromise and bring a television, because they figure that it's better to have the kids, their own kids, in their own house watching television than they can try and supervise. So, but in the heart of hearts, they really don't want to have television in their house. So these are kind of things that, case to case, you have to adjust for what's best for Krishna consciousness.
Well, my thought was specifically amongst the devotee families, and if the devotee families have a sense of how we would like our children to be at least nurtured, then we have some kind of understanding of standards that we would like to follow. Not like rigid, if you break the rule you get smacked or something, but it's just, you know, a common understanding. The perils of just this one item. It's where so many impressions of violence and sex and, you know, murder and crime and just like, because it keeps people awake. And so that, you know, it's marketable, and so it's in your face. The more violence, the more raunch. Anyway, and then where do those impressions go? After they're in the mind, they come out. So, and then there's internet, and so some sense of. We make this distinction in ISKCON. There's rules and there's guidelines, and guidelines are less rigid than rules. It's just something's a little softer. Some guidelines that our community would like to follow. Some idea like that would be helpful. And there's some, not yet necessarily unanimous, but some kind of general consensus of these are guidelines that we endorse for our, you know, our close association. That's a starting point. Yes.
Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness 30 years ago. He was quite strong with speaking about the four regulator principles, especially in the context. I noticed that when I personally and when others also try to extend to those of American community, like in colleges, etc., on the distribution, there's a little hesitation to
be so explicit about the regular principles,
especially illicit sex,
for the Western audience.
Right.
I don't have a problem with being explicit about it. And it needs to be, there needs to be some tact, because we don't have the stature that Prabhupada had. But to, like, tuck it under the rug, pretend it's not there, I don't do that, and I don't feel good about doing that. And these things don't need to be in your face, it's just mentioned. When we put on our mantra cards, it's chant and be happy. It's not know this, know this, know this, know this. And prasadam and festivals, and so the attraction is to Krishna, and then to enhance one. Just that's what Prabhupada did. Before he gave what the regular principles were, he just gave, it was kirtan and prasadam and some philosophy. The bullets. And then after some time, the devotees ask him, Swamiji, should we be following some restrictions? So it's not a frontline item, but if asked, we shouldn't waffle. And some explanation. Yes?
Maharaj, I've heard that there's... that sex life can be indulged in words and action or in the mind. So there's no entrance into the spiritual world if either of these three.
My understanding in this age of Kali is that it's the explicit acts of sin that are we're accountable for. Now, there are standards that are detailed. Prabhupada presents them in the scripture for one who is observing brahmacharya. There's like seven stages of it, and then the final is the explicit act. So it's not that it's okay if you're brahmachari, you do the other six, but just don't do that number seven. That's not because one thing leads to the next thing. But as far as the sin itself, my understanding is it's not the thought of the sin, it's the sin. It's the act, the overt act that one is held responsible for. So from our side, we don't contemplate illicit sex. As long as we don't do it, it's okay. We that's not to be done, indulged in. It contaminates the mind, and in fact, thinking, feeling, willing lead to acting. Yeah.
Clarification, Mark. So when we're talking about celibacy in this purport, in this verse, we're talking of we want to strive for freedom from all those three areas or ways of sex life.
The verse is saying if one wants to enter into the realm of deathlessness, then this principle is to be observed, and you can extend it and say if I want to enter into the realm of deathlessness, I'm going to observe restriction in these other areas because they'll lead to the overt act. Certainly. I mean, that's, you know, a chaste wife should not be contemplating some sexual relationship with some other person. And it's okay as long as I don't do it. You know, it's not the way of life of a chaste wife. Similarly, even within marriage, to contemplate, it's not the way that one would live one's life if one is wanting to enter into the realm of deathlessness or to be with Krishna. They're just incompatible. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.